and Galatians chapter 6 and Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start with Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature.
Amen.
I like that, a new creature. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 there. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 19, if you will. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We used to be strangers to God's house. We were foreigners to the family of God and the will of God and the presence of God and the saving of God. We were foreigners to that. But now we're fellow citizens.
Yes.
Amen. You might as well love us if you're going to heaven with us, okay? All right, if all you fellas take your hat off and let's pray. Father, help us today. Help us as we try to worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, all is vain unless thy spirit come down. All is vain. Lord, we can teach and preach, but without you, it's like tinkling cymbal and sounding brass. Open our ears, open our eyes of understanding, and open our heart to receive the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm starting a new series of sermons tonight. It'll go about 8 or 10 weeks on how to deal with things, how to be a good Christian, how to endure hardship, how to get your prayers answered, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit. And everybody needs that. Y'all need to come back tonight. If you're scared to drive in the dark, I'll make Mike come pick you up.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then Wednesday nights, I'm starting another one called the ABCs of the Christian life. Now, we have to go back to the simple things sometimes. You got to remember the basics, and that's what I'm going to teach you, the basics of Christianity on Wednesday night. So y'all come. But today I want to talk to you about the citizenship of a Christian. Now, I'm not talking about the citizenship of the United States of America, though I'm not ashamed of that. I think that's a wonderful thing. I don't think there's been a better time to be an American than there is today that we live in. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of my government. I'm not ashamed of my president. I'm not ashamed of my people. God has blessed America. Amen. Amen. And you'll feel the same way. And a fellow asked me one time, he said, what's God ever done for me? I said, well, there's two things. Number one, he lets you breathe. I said, number two, he lets you breathe in the greatest nation the world's ever known.
Amen.
And number three, he let his son die for you. Amen. He's done a lot for you. Amen. And so everybody, every family has physical characteristics. I looked through here, you know, and some of you used to be redheaded. It's turned white, but you used to be redheaded. So you kids are redheaded. There may be brunette. Ladies, I'm sorry, but if that color come out of a bottle, your kids don't look like that. That's not a characteristic. That come from the drugstore. You wasn't born that way. Amen. Now all the women's mad at me. Amen. Amen. But everybody has ID marks, red hair, my family had big nose. I got cancer on my nose. Went to the doctor, he said, I'm going to have to cut a bunch of that off. I said, well, go ahead and make me look like Clint Eastwood. He said, I can't do that. But we've got physical, some are tall, some are short, some are round, some are straight. You know, you never know. But you can usually look at somebody and see where they come from. Amen? Now, in South Carolina, most of the people used to be Scotch-Irish or English descent. So we all had about the same names, and I got looking at my Ancestry.com, and I'm kin to everybody. Thank God he intervened. I could have married my first cousin, you know, I didn't know. But we've got physical characteristics. I know some of you young people ain't proud of it, but you look like your mom and daddy. And you say, well, they're a little bit round. Well, hang on, you'll get there. Well, all my daddy's hair fell out. Hang on, it's coming, amen. We all come in naked, wrinkled, toothless, and bald. And we're going out the same way. Just hang on, you'll get there, amen. And so we've got these physical characteristics. I can tell that's a Burgess right there. There ain't a doubt in my mind. And I'm sitting back yonder. If you didn't know by the way he looked, by the way he acted, you know he was a Burgess. Amen. And I can tell some of you others. And so we have these things. And people can identify us. I grew up in Lancaster. And when you call that name Roddy, you might better duck or pucker. It depends on what side of town you grew up on, which Roddy you was associated with. But people knew me because they'd see me. I looked like my mama. And so there's obvious things about people. Would you agree with that and say amen? We're in a Baptist church. You can do that. All right. There are also some very obvious characteristics about the children of God and God's family. Now, when I say characteristics, I don't mean physical. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're pretty or homely as the day is long. I'm talking about some things about the heart and the tongue and the mind and the way you live and the way you act and the way you talk. And I know the day that we live in, those lines have been blurred real bad. And it's hard to tell who is and who ain't nowadays. I remember growing up, we knew who was and who wasn't, or at least who we thought was and who we thought wasn't. Now it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. People get saved. They say, I'm not living like that anymore. I got saved. Or they'd say, I'm trying to live right. When was the last time you heard somebody say, I'm trying to live right? Amen? Now they make all kinds of excuses not to live right. Well, I'm sorry. There's some characteristics about God's family. Number one, in 1 John 5:12, it says, he that hath the Son hath life. John 3:15, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that's the quality of life. We have everlasting life. I'm never going to die. I'm going to live long as God lives. Amen. One day, you're going to read in the paper, Clarence Ronald, that's right, Clarence. Go ahead and laugh, get it up with you. Clarence Ronald Roddy died. Don't believe that.
Right.
The shell died. This is not me. What's me is on the inside. This is the Bible calls this my tabernacle, my temporary dwelling place. I'm a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. I'm not a citizen of this world anymore. I got born again March 5th, 1978. He came in and he changed my citizenship. Now you talking about open borders. There's you one. Amen. He says, come. You can cross his border anytime you want to. And he gave me citizenship in heaven. So I've got the life of God. I have, according to John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I've got a better life than I had. According to 1 Peter 1:8, he says he give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. So I've got a life of joy. In Psalm 23:5, he says, I'm going to give you a cup that's going to run over. I've got a life of abundant running over. Amen. I've got more than I deserve. I'm blessed more than I deserve. I went to my closet today. We've got a walk-in closet. Whoever heard of a walk-in closet? When I grew up, we had a little cubby hole over there, you know, it had a door on it, about that big, you know. Everything you own was in there or in three drawers. When I got married, I had two Winn-Dixie bags of clothes. That was it. I had two Winn-Dixie bags. Y'all, some of y'all don't even know who Winn-Dixie is. Man, I'm old. I had two Winn-Dixie bags of clothes. That's all I had. And a 1971 Dodge Demon, and the devil drove it. Amen. That's all I had. But now I'm saved. I've got more blessings than I could ever count. Amen. We'll sing that song. Count your blessings one by one. Amen. It will surprise you what the Lord had done. I'm a blessed man. Not because I'm a good man. I'm not good. I'm saved. Now I'm better than I used to be, thank God, but I'm not always what I ought to be. But thank God I ain't what I used to be either. And praise God I'm not what I'm going to be. Amen. I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. And my worst of times are better than my best times when I was lost and going to hell. Yes, that's true. Some of y'all sitting there to act like you don't know that. Now, that's one of my ID marks of being a Christian. Amen. And then I thought about this. 1 John 1:5 says God is light. God is light. So now a child of God, somebody who's received Jesus as their Savior, they've been born again, they've turned from their sin, they've turned to Him. He's given them a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit. He has enlightened us. Yes. He's enlightened us. He's shed the light. We sing that song, I saw the light. I saw the light. We don't mean that light. We mean a spiritual light, a light from heaven. And it ain't something you see with this. It's something you see in here. Yeah. Now, he's given me the light of discernment. 1 Corinthians 10:23. I can discern right from wrong. 1 Corinthians 10 says, the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit, for they're spiritually discerned. I used to look at Christians. They talk about the Bible. They talk about Jesus. I'd sit there and just look at them. What? What you been smoking? What did you take a pill for that? What's wrong with this guy? You know, but when you get saved, he turns the light on. Amen. Y'all remember that? Said Ford had a better idea, and they turned the light on. You remember that? Chevrolet never had that. But I don't know who made that lying commercial, because I had two Fords and didn't need one of them have lights. It wasn't no good. Now I found out that things are lawful for me, but not expedient. I'm a free moral agent. I can do anything I want to, but anything I want to is not always good for me. And God turned that light on me. Amen. I remember Preacher Fogberry used to come to my house trying to get me to get saved, and I'd set that mirror over to the side, you know, and act like I wasn't doing nothing wrong. He'd come in there, and I'd say, Preacher, when I quit drinking and lying and cussing and all this stuff, running around this crowd, I'll come join your church, and I'll become a Christian. He said, son, you'll die and go to hell. Woo! That's a real pastor there, amen. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't pussyfoot around. He told me the truth. You're going to die and go to hell, boy. And I said, what? I thought that's what Christians was. I thought they didn't drink or cuss or lie and all this stuff. He said, that's what they're supposed to be, but they ain't all that. He said, that ain't what gets you to heaven. What gets you to heaven is receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you get all that by following Him.
Amen.
Hey, listen, he gave me a new direction. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path.
Yes.
Now, I grew up in on the south side of Lancashire. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but there's a black cloud hangs right over the south side of Lancashire. It never lifts. I mean, Sister Kathy and Brett said they went down through there accidentally one time, so they was going to find something. They went down through there and went through that part of town down there at the old airport and the Gooch's Crossroads and the airport crossroads down there on South 200. And Kathy said, I got this strange feeling. She said, it was like a darkness there. It is. It's like a darkness down there. Thank God he turned the light on for me.
Amen.
The best thing ever happened to me besides Jesus is a blind date. My wife was blind. I was the date. And that brought me out of Lancaster. Thank God. But when he saved me, hey, I acknowledge him. If you get anything good out of me, you blame him. Amen. Because he's the one I'm following. It ain't me. If I did what Ron Roddy wanted to do halftime, I'd be in a mess. And then he gave me discipline. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, 32 says this, for we would judge ourselves.
Right.
You can't judge me. No, you'll judge yourself where nobody else would have to.
Amen.
If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord. The Lord whips us. That we should not be condemned.
Amen.
With the world. Now, God whips His children. He don't cast His children off. And He said in Hebrews chapter 12 there that God chastens His children. He whips them. And He goes on to say this, young man, young lady, if God doesn't chasten you, I mean, if your father, your earthly father didn't chasten you, He doesn't love you.
Right.
It's a lot of work to raise a youngin. Somebody say, man, you got them. It's a lot of work. I wouldn't want to do it again.
Amen.
I got a beautiful daughter sitting right there, but I'm telling you, that's work raising youngins. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Y'all youngins, y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's work raising youngins. Especially two like you. Amen? What are you laughing at? Listen. And but look, a real parent won't let you jump off a cliff.
Right, that's right.
They'll say, "I'll tan your hide if I ever catch you in the car with that boy. I'll kill him and you both." Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
So God chastens me because He's my Father. He adopted me. So now I can't just do any old thing I want to and not expect to get a whipping. Now He'll let me do it. You ever looked at one of your youngins, you done told them, and just tired of telling them, you say, "All right, go ahead." See how this turns out. Amen. And then they come back crying, you say, "I told you." Amen. So, listen, I've got the love of God. He says this in 1 John 4:11, "Beloved, if God so love us, we'll love one another." Now that includes for the scriptures. Now don't tell me you're a Christian, you don't read the scriptures. That's God's love letter to us. How do you say you love God? You don't even read what? That's the way He talks to us. Don't be waiting for voices or some preacher to tell you what to do. Go, open the book. He's wrote you the letter. Amen. And so I've got new direction because I've got a love of the scriptures. Psalm 1:1-3, he talks about that. He says, "Delight thyself in the law of the Lord." That don't hurt my feelings for somebody to quote scripture to me. I thank God somebody loves me enough to do it.
Amen.
Hey, come on, help me here. Boy, some preacher gets up that big old fat finger and he's preaching and spitting all over the place, you know, and it comes right down there to me. I had one do it to me one time, preacher Sammy Allen. I went down to Lancaster, the Beacon Baptist Church, he was down there preaching, and Sammy, he's about 80-something years old, I guess, but he's still a wild man. He'd get them glasses, he'd start twirling them glasses, he'd look up and start quoting scripture, sweating and spitting, and he'd walk up and down the aisle, and he stopped at me one time, and he said, "Some of these fellas, they so carnal, they got fender skirts." I hadn't been saved long, but I knew exactly what he was talking about. You know, the Bible says it's shameful men have long hair. It doesn't say sin, but it's a shame to look like a woman and you're a man. And I had it. When I got saved, me and my wife, we had matching haircuts. They called it the shag. It come down here, part in the middle, a little bit wavy. I was pretty. And but I got saved. The Lord convicted me about my haircut. He convicted me about my haircut. So I went to the barbershop. You know, I didn't want to get to be a fanatic. So I got it cut up to here. Fender skirts. And that preacher come right over there and laid his hand on my shoulder. And that 24-year-old boy, and the preacher lays his hand. That was scary.
Yeah.
And he spit on me. And then he took that thing and he slung that. He preached like this. He said, "Amen." And that sweat went all over me. I got anointed. He said, "You ought to walk right, talk right, and spit white." Some of y'all don't even know what that means. Billy does ask him after church. Listen, I do not get offended when my daddy talks to me. Now, I never had an earthly father, and I missed a lot because of that. I mean, I grew up wild as you could get. Nobody telling me what to do. But I'm going to tell you something. When my Heavenly Father talks to me,
yes,
here's how He talks to me right here.
Yeah, man, that's right.
And I can read that book and hear His voice.
Yeah, yeah.
And it don't bother me a bit. Hey, sometimes He pets me. And He tells me, "You're a good boy. I'm so proud of you. You need a haircut, but you're a good boy." And then other times He comes over and He says, "If you don't straighten up, boy, I'm going to beat you to death." Amen. Now He does that through the scripture. And God chose foolishness of preaching to save those that believe.
That's right.
And look, if the Bible offends you, maybe you don't have the right ID.
Yeah.
Hello. Maybe you don't belong to the city of God. Not only that, And boy, y'all listening fast. 1 John 3:4 says, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Amen.
Now you tell me you hate a Christian, I'm going to say you need to get your salvation checked out. Now I don't agree with all Christians. A lot of them I don't agree with the day we live in now. But I don't hate them. And I love them. If they need something, I do my best to get it for them. I've had people turn against me and try to ruin me and talk behind me and everything else. And guess who they call when they get in a spot? They'll call the one that loved them anyway. You go to some of these churches, you got this crowd over here that's mad at that crowd back there, and that crowd's mad at this crowd over here, and that crowd's mad at this crowd over here. This lady came to church one time. She said, I want to come to your church, but my ex-husband is coming there. And I don't want to look at him. I said, get there early and sit on the front. You won't have to look at him. He'll have to look at you. And he's the one that'll get convicted. Amen? You'll love the brethren. I don't mean you'll always get along with them. I didn't always get along with my 8 brothers and sisters, but I loved them. Hello.
Yeah,
well, love the brethren. Don't tell me you got the right idea if you hate people. Well, love sinners.
Yes.
Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost.
Right.
And by the way, you used to be one. You say, well, I've never been a sinner. Well, you are right now then. That's called sinful pride. You're a sinner. You need to be saved. Or if you are saved, you're a saved sinner.
Yes.
But you need to stay right with God. And one of the ways you do that is by loving sinners enough to tell them the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Amen.
Don't tell me you love people and you let them go to hell.
Amen.
Amen. Don't tell me you love people and look, you can hurt them or run them down. But that's not the truth.
Amen.
Boy, I better go on. That got quiet. Jude 22 and 23 says, if some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And then last one, the ID marks is, you ought to have a longing for God.
Amen.
Philippians 3:10 says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Did you know you'll long for his spirit to direct you and guide you? 1 John 4:1 says, try the spirits.
Yes.
Try the spirits. You ought to want to have so close a relationship with God that you can see good from bad spirits.
Amen.
I'm not talking about these spooky things. I'm talking about the spirit of attitude or the way people treat somebody else. Or a preacher or things like that, you ought to know how to judge right from wrong spiritually by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
There's a lot of Christians running headlong to a cliff right now because they're not close enough to God to be spiritual enough to judge right from wrong, and so they're making some terrible mistakes. And after they get there and they make the mistake, you know what they're going to do? They're going to judge it on everybody else.
Yeah.
They're gonna blame it on somebody else because they weren't close enough to God. Now, the ID mark is that Hebrews Habakkuk chapter 3:2 says, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Now, if you're a Christian, you want to get closer to God, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. If you've ever experienced the power and the presence of God by being born again by the Spirit of God, you want to know more about God and get closer to God.
Amen.
The average Baptist, they done drew a line somewhere. Over here is getting close to God. Over here is the world. And they want to stay right here. Because they like the world pretty good, but they like God too. Amen. And what they need to do is throw that line, jump over the line.
Amen.
And draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to thee. Now, if you're a Christian and you don't have a desire to stay close to God, I think you may have a fake ID.
Right.
And then last but not least, Acts chapter 1, verse 10, 11 says he's standing there and he's going up into heaven. And those angels said this. They said, why stand ye watching him go up into heaven? This same Jesus is coming back just like he left.
Amen.
Just like he left, he's coming back. Did you know that if you have a longing for God, you long for him to return?
That's right.
Now, y'all listen to me. Listen. It's 4 minutes till the Methodists are already saying amen. And the Presbyterians are in line for KFC. But just a couple more minutes, okay? He's coming again.
Yes.
He's coming again. And if you don't look forward to his coming again, there's something wrong.
Amen. Yes.
Well, preacher, I got it pretty good down here. Well, no, you don't.
That's right.
We live in a wicked, sin-cursed world. And let me tell you something, young people, this world will destroy you. And let some of these older people stand up in here and tell how the world almost destroyed them before God found them.
Amen.
And at its best, this world is still sinful and wicked.
Amen.
Seems like now Christians got to check Twitter to see what they ought to be doing. Or Facebook. Amen. Or Snapchat or Chap Snap or something. And you're looking for the world to tell you how to be a Christian. I got news for you. This world does not know how to be a Christian. That's why he came to save us from this world. And he's coming back again to take us out of this world. I got a longing for that. I don't want to die. I don't plan to today. If y'all got plans for that, you need to change because I ain't going to do it. You're getting a busload to leave. I ain't going. But if he comes, I'm going with him. I'm not going to join one of these cults that sits around with their legs crossed and going, and smoking mushrooms and taking acid and all this stuff, you know, praying for the Great Spirit. Well, I'll tell you, his name ain't Great Spirit. The one I serve's name's Jesus. And he's coming back to deliver me from this world. And he said, in an hour when you think not, that's when he's coming.
Amen.
Now I look for that. I long that. I've got the life of God. I've got the light of God. I've got the love of God. But the best thing is I've got the longing for God. I want him to come back. Job says man's days are few and full of trouble. And hey, even being born again, child of God, we still have trouble. And we're going to have trouble until he comes back and takes us out. Amen? Now I hope you get saved before he comes back, because you won't go if you ain't. But whether you get saved or not, I'm going. And I'm going to tell you something else too. I ain't letting the devil have my family. I'm not letting the devil take my children to hell. I made that. I laid them on the altar right after I got saved, and then they got saved. I'm not bragging on them. Well, I kind of am bragging on them because most of them ain't here. But, you know, my girls was teaching Sunday school when they was teenagers. They were doing children's church when they were teenagers. Because I laid them on the altar, and I said, God, I want you to save them and use them for your glory. And look, I want to take them with me when I go. Now, what's your ID look like? What's your characteristics? Could somebody look at you this week and say, well, there goes a child of God.
Right. Amen.
You say you can't do that. Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have the light of God. They've got the love of God. They've got the presence and the power of God. This old world will recognize the people of God.
Amen.
The problem is you've let the world beat you down so bad that you're ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And you're trying to cover it up. Well, I'm like the old hymn writer. I've decided to follow Jesus.
Amen.
There's no turning back.
Amen. Amen.
You laugh if you want to. I've been laughed at before. They laughed at me when I was lost. But now I'm saved. Let them laugh. I'll have the last laugh.
Amen.
Amen.
So I want you to check your ID today. Get out and check it. Here's the standard. Here's the rule book right here. Check it. Check it by this right here. Amen? Check it out. See what you look like compared to the scriptures. You say, well, I'm a Christian because mama was. No, God don't have any grandchildren. You have to be born again yourself.
Amen.
Do you have the life of God, that abundant life? Do you have the light of God? Do you understand spiritual things? Do you have the love of God? Do you love other saints and sinners? Do you have longing for God? Oh, I want to see Him and look upon His face.
Yes.
Let's stand. Father, I don't know anybody.